Good morning, friends. So cool and so wonderful when we are empowered in a different way with all the youth here. You have to know what difference you make here and how much difference you will make continually through your lives by the energy that you put into this. So thank you to all of you and to any guests that are here. St. John's loves visitors. We're glad you're here with us to worship the Lord. My message is about character and expectations, and I'm a sad deacon today because Michigan definitely did not live up to their character last night, and it wasn't my expectation, so whatever. So we all struggle to live up to God's expectations. That's the reality. It's our nature to put up this resistance to his persistence. He has high but fair expectations of, again, our very character. In fact, you and I, we bear the very name and character of the Lord in being called Christian. What we read today is a heart-to-heart with God, where he makes no bones about it, that to live below his expectations and outside of our character has consequences. It's not to suggest that our Father isn't patient or to suggest that he's just up there just waiting for us to fail. He expects that we will fail at times. The point is his disappointment when we turn away from his design for us. So yes, high expectations of our character. Did you hear the Pope was in New York? Yeah, he leaves Kennedy and he grabs a cab. He says to the young cabbie, he says, "Hey, you know, I never get a drive like you do. Could I give it a shot?" The young cabbie says, "Oh, Holy Father, I'm not so sure that would be a good idea in this kind of traffic. Please, I beg you." Well, I suppose it's wrong to tell the Pope no. So they swap places. And away they go. Haven't even left the airport grounds yet, and the Holy Father's got the pedal to the metal. He's running like 75 in the 35 zone. And sure enough, they're pulled over. The officer parks, walks up, looks inside the window, and he's shocked. He can't believe who he sees. He says, "Wait right here." Goes back to his cruiser, jumps in, calls back to the precinct. Says, "Chief, I got a big problem." He says, "Well, what is it, sir? What is it, officer?" "Well, these guys are driving through the airport area here in a 35. They're driving like 75. So I pull them over, but I walk up. It's somebody really important." The chief says, "Important like the mayor?" "Oh, no, much more important than that. Important like the governor?" "Think bigger. The president of the United States? Important like that?" "Sir, more, higher. Who is more important than the president of the United States?" He says, "Well, sir, I don't know, but he's got the Pope driving him." So friends, let's hear the word of God today as an opportunity to examine our own personal character in light of God's expectations. Are we humbled before him? Are we compliant to his wants? Do we live our lives as if we're subject to him? Reading both the prophecy here of Isaiah, reading that and Jesus' parable today suggests the outcome when one fails to live up to that character. Isaiah refers to God as his friend who owns a vineyard, And Jesus refers to him as a landowner with a vineyard. Of course, the vineyard, again, representing God's kingdom, his people, ultimately us. In either case, the result are far less than what the landowner's expectations are. In Isaiah's message, we hear wild grapes. In Jesus' parable, the result bears out this selfishness with this false sense of ownership as if what they've grown was their own. Jesus' message to them points to what? Yes, neglect and wasting the abundance of God's good and pure resources. And this unfortunate result, when leadership considers the church theirs rather than God's. So just what are these good and pure resources? What is forgotten? What's wasted or abused? Paul today tells us. First, he insists that there be prayer, petition, and thanksgiving, communication. I heard it said that life without prayer is like an extension cord plugged into itself. That's a great image for precisely what Jesus' message was today. Rather than empowering their ministry and the church, God's people, with his resources, they were maintaining status quo with their own rule and just empowering themselves with themselves, which, of course, is no power at all. And, of course, that message can apply to us personally if we forget that our personal Christian vocation, if it becomes inward rather than outward. Then Paul names these qualities, these things that evolve out of communication with God. He says whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious. In other words, live by these characteristics and you will know God's peace. You will be in tune with his expectations. So let's just ask ourselves today, how is my crop looking? Are God's resources really inspiring my Christian character so to bear out the fruit that he desires? When's the last time I had a heart-to-heart with God to be sure that I'm working his vineyard where and how he wants it? Finally, just to say that we live in a confused culture where frank statements and the bare truth aren't welcome. Thank heavens that doesn't apply to Jesus. Because if we aren't living in tune with his desires of us, if we aren't living up to his expectations, we want to know it, right? And how did he say that? I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to a people that will produce fruit. I pray you and I a rich harvest.